Sanity Group of A, Lamahana area.
Hi, Joe.
Howdy. Hi. I don't know where I'm standing.
I don't know either.
Let me get some. Alright, I'm probably going to stand in the sun, I guess, I don't know, or maybe a little bit in the shade. So, howdy, my name's Joe, I'm an addict. Oh, shit. 8 and 9. So, I was thinking about this last night, and I thought about it today, too, and I went back, and I looked over some of my step work, just to go back to look at my list. So, whenever this step came up in my life, you know, it talks about, like, we were entirely, like, ready. Like, so we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So, like, willing to make amends. So when I started this list, it was fucking tough for me. Because when I started, like, dude, I wasn't, like, a fast step worker guy. Like, by the time I started step 8, like, I had probably, like, 4 or 5 years clean. And so, like, a lot of that shit was in the past, you know? And so when I started writing the step, like, I nailed, like, the main ones, like, when I was writing this list. And, like, I was becoming willing. And, like, I finally came to a point in my life where, like, I was able to make financial amends. I was able to be there to make, like, living amends. Like, Narcotics Anonymous, through the process of step work and sticking around doing meetings, has, like, set me in a position to be willing to do this stuff. And whenever I first started writing, I couldn't think of shit. I was like, well, I did this and that. And, like, so the first, like, 2 weeks writing the list, like, I was struggling. And my sponsor at the time, when I was writing the list, I was like, bro, I really don't have that many, you know? And he's like, ah, bullshit. And, like, he was right. Because as soon as, like, that pen hit paper and I got, like, one person down, then it became 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it just started, like, a plethora, like, a waterfall released. And, like, I wrote all this shit. And it is, like, insane. Whenever, like, I was focused on this step and I started writing, the things that opened up in my head. Like, stuff that I totally forgot about. Stuff that I did when I was, like, a teenager wilding out, you know. And so I started writing. And, you know, writing, and I was writing like there was no step 9. Like, if I was being honest, like, I was just, like, writing it down because I was like, fuck it, you know, some of these I probably will never have to do, you know, and shit like that. And when I was writing it too, like, I finally got to a point where I was like, all right, I think I got enough names on here. I'm like, if I keep going and don't come see you, like, I'm just gonna keep adding fucking names. And he's like, all right, well, let's talk about it. So when I got there and we started, like, going over my list, and it was nice because, like, we broke it down to, like, living amends, financial amends, like, direct harm or, like, unintentional harm too. And so we broke some stuff down, and I started, and as soon as I, like, read the first name, he's like, you forgot someone. I'm like, who? Like, he's like, you forgot to put your own name on there. And, like, dude, like, I was so locked into the harm that I did to everybody else, and I forgot about the harm that I caused myself the whole fucking time. So, like, we stopped. I put my name on the list. And, like, we spent, like, some time just talking about that. Like, how did you cause harm for yourself? It's like, well, I sold myself short. Like, I lived with resentment towards my family and my sister, and it just poisoned me. You know, like, all these things, not to mention the damage to my body, you know, Hep C, you know, massive amounts of drug use. Like, I'm sure my insides don't fucking like me, you know. I'm trying to recover from that too, you know. And so we started going through the list, and we started weaseling it out, because when I, like, opened up those floodgates, I opened up, like, every little thing. Like, stuff that's like, bro, that doesn't fucking matter. That was, like, some high school drama shit. Like, you didn't cause crazy amount of harms. Like, what are your intentions? Why do you want to get a hold of this person anyways? Is it just so you can talk to this old girlfriend or some shit? And, like, he called me out on that shit, because some of that stuff was like that. Like, where I was like, oh, I'm opening up this door, but were my intentions behind it, like, pure and stuff? So we went through and we started whittling down the list, and, you know, some things came up. We were talking about, like, at this time my sister passed away. She was one of the ones I owed amends to on the list. And, like, how are we going to do that? You know, my grandpa, my poppy, dude, like, he was one of the ones on the list because, like, he left me all this great jewelry. He left my sister all this great jewelry and, like, all this stuff. And, like, I fucking pawned it all. I stole it all, you know. And like, I stole that from my sister, you know? And so we went over like how we were gonna do this, man. And as we were going through the list too, he asked me like, are you willing to make that amends? Are you not willing to make that amends? And I didn't think about it at the time after I wrote the list that there were some people I wasn't willing to make the amends at that point in time. One of them was my mother, you know? I wasn't like ready at that point in time because she was going through some hard stuff and she's one of us, you know? And, you know, I was willing to do some other amends like to my dad and that and this, but like I wasn't willing to do that. And like the one for my sister, dude, like I still have yet to make that amends. I have still yet to sit down because I've been like carrying guilt and shame with like the shit that went down because I was clean when she passed away and I wasn't the best brother at that time. Just because we get clean doesn't mean we're fucking great people, you know, like, and I'm proof of that, like the way I acted for sure. So we made the list and like step nine, like was entirely ready to make these amends. And so when we went through, he's like, all right, you're ready for step nine. And I'm like, so how the fuck do I do this? Do, like, I just go start knocking on people's doors? Do I do, like, what? And, like, we went through, and, like, he's like, well, you can't go to that place where you stole that fucking giant-ass pumpkin, you know, and be like, hey, I'm the dude who was, like, on the fucking news for stealing your shit. He's like, you gotta make a living amends. I'm like, well, how do I do that? He's like, you go there and you buy a fucking pumpkin every year. I'm like, son of a bitch, all right, that's a good one. So, like, all right, I can do that way. I was like, so he showed me ways, like, how I can make some of these amends, you know? Like, Dollar General, you know? They talk about places I owe amends to. I owe amends to Dollar General. For some reason, even when I got clean, dude, I had a year clean, and I would walk into Dollar General and steal a Red Bull because they were too expensive, and this is a corporation. I deserve this Red Bull. Like, what the fuck? And I was like, well, do I go talk to Rebel? He's like, no, you don't need to get charged up. You just pay for your shit today. You don't steal. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. That's simple enough. I just won't steal. So, all right, got that one covered. So then I was like, well, what about the ones for, like, these people? You know, like, I owed amends to one of my best friends, Adam. Solid kid, man. Like, we grew up together, like, when life was good. And I just disappeared on his whole life. You know, and I said it was to protect him, like, because I was doing, like, heroin, and I was like, you know, I try to make myself the fucking most important person in the room, dude, and, like, I said it was, like, for me to protect him from myself and my disease and shit, but, like, I dipped out on this dude's life. I dipped out on his marriage. I dipped out on all that shit, you know, like, so, like, that one I ended up fucking slowly reconnecting with this guy over, like, Instagram. Like, we talked to each other, like, how's your mom, dude? Like, I grew up at his house. His mom was my second mom and stuff. And, like, eventually we built that relationship where, like, I could talk to him about it. And, like, everything went, like, well. And I'm super happy for that because, like, I've also learned, like, you know, the steps are in an order for a reason. And, like, I felt that pain of going out of order. I had, like, what, like, 90 days clean. And I was at a place where I worked, a place of business, and there was this girl there who seen me through all my active addiction, like, the ups and downs. She heard I got clean again, you know, like, that's what I, like, Joe was the guy who got clean again, oh, he's doing good again, and I stopped and talked to her. I'm like, yeah, I'm clean, I'm going to all these meetings, like, I'm not that asshole anymore, and, like, I'm sorry for all the shit I caused, because we worked together, and she's like, we'll see this time. And I was like, what the fuck? And, like, I didn't get the warm welcoming I was expecting. So, like, I learned that the steps are in an order for a reason. You know, because that, like, fucking hurt me, man. Because, like, they didn't believe me. But they didn't. She shouldn't have believed me. Dude, I had 90 days clean, dude. I didn't know shit, you know? So, but moving on to, like, some more serious ones, man. Like, I was lucky enough that, like, I've stuck around enough. And, I've heard people share. And, like, the whole thing with, like, step nine is, like, God puts these people in, like, right in your path at the right time right now, you know? And because I was gonna go beat on doors and all that shit, and it's like, just chill. Like, the time will be presented, and, like, when it is, you take that opportunity. And, like, that happened, you know? I was me and my dad, when I was in active addiction, me and my dad, the only time we talked was like when we were sitting down having beers, you know, that was like our thing. And then thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, because we have a relationship today. He knows more about NA than normal people, you know, like some of the people here, you're like, he fucking knows, man. I've had him call me out and say, you need to go to a meeting and shit. And like, that's awesome, you know? And one day we went to the range and like we were just shooting and it was just like God showed up. We're talking, I'm like, Dad, like, I'm sorry for all the shit. And he's like, what? I'm like, you just gotta let me say this, like, because he's like, oh yeah, it's all good, it's all good. I'm like, no man, like, this is what I did. Like, I fucking robbed everything you had. When you and Mom were at your weakest, I took it all and I didn't care, you know. And that hurt, you know. And you know, it was a good amends. He's like, I fucking love you, you're doing what you need to do, like, keep doing it, stay clean, you know. And that was the first one, like, that was the first like real in-person amends that I had that like really hit home. And so like craziness, so my mom right now is sick and it's due to like, you know, a combination of things. She's one of us, you know, her body's so weak from fucking drinking herself to death that like fucking cancer crept in, you know. So like my mom starts chemo and stuff this month, and I never made amends to her. And last night, I got fucking married last night, and I went home, and we went and showed my mom us in our shit, because my mom can't go to a fucking wedding. My mom's stuck in a wheelchair, and she's so happy. And we were leaving, my dad was outside talking to Katie and stuff, and I came back in the house, and I'm like, Mom, I've never sat down and told you I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry for getting you at your weakest time. You know, when my sister died, I wasn't there for her the way I should have been because she was drinking and I didn't want to be a part of it. So I got to make amends to my mom last night, and it was fucking time. It was time. It was one of those things where it says God like puts you in the right place. And it's been years. I did step fucking 8 and 9 fucking 3.5 years ago. And last night when I walked in, it was like, now's the time. I don't know if I'll have another one, you know? And so, like, I did that, and it felt good. It felt sad. It hurt, you know? But, like, I had my best friend with me to fucking hold me up when I got back in the car and shit. And my mother loves me to death. And I'll be showing up there Wednesday to hook up a Roku, do whatever I have to, you know? The living amends, like, this is something I do for all this shit, man. There's still some amends, like I said, I need to make. And as of right now, like, my whole job is not to cause any more harm. I don't want to add to this list when I rewrite it, because I will rewrite it, you know. And maybe there'll be somebody on that list that I still owe amends to. But so just for today, I'm going to, like, promptly admit when I'm wrong. I'm moving on to another step. But, you know, I'm going to take my inventory. I'm going to, like, try to suit up and show up and, like, be there for the people in my life to make those amends. But I'm going to keep rambling if I don't stop. But thank you, guys. That's all I got.
I would like to introduce our second speaker, Lexi B., from the 24 Principles for 24 Hours group of NA in the Lamahana area.
Lexi, I'm an addict. Hi. Real grateful to be here. I haven't gotten able to stay at the retreat the last couple years, right? Because we also get the gift of life entering this program, and with that we get new aspirations and new goals and new things. So we do things. So I had the freedom. There was a little bit of wiggle room with school this year. So I was at the tail end of a quarter of school, and I was like, man, I'm just going to stay this weekend, right? I haven't been able to do that. I've been one of the Saturday all-dayers, the ones that runs up and spends all day and then drives home. So I'm real glad to be here this weekend for the whole weekend. So yeah, steps 8 and 9, you know, Howdy covered a lot of that. When I did my first 8 and 9, I'm moving towards currently right now another 8 and 9, but I haven't written. It's coming down. It's down the road, right? I'm on 5 and 6 right now with the current sponsor that I have. But the first 8 and 9, the sponsor that I had at the time, like it's crazy. It's still baffling. Like I don't have enough words to say. Like Howdy said, like every step that I have been on throughout this journey. Whether formally or informally, right, there has been a direct correlation with my higher power, and I have been placed in position, and the people around me were directly placed in position around me to get me through whatever growth I needed to experience at that time, right? And I believe the reason that I'm still here, this is, you know, not my first clean date, right, but God willing, it'll be my last. It's because of the effort that I'm putting in the step work this time. Like I'm able to really reap the benefits, the spiritual benefits of the program that it gives us through the step work. So when I was writing on 8 and 9, at this time, and you know, like Howdy said, it is that it's the willingness, right, to make the list in 8. And I wasn't real willing for that, man. Like, it took me a little bit to sit down and really think, like, am I going to be willing to write this list? Am I going to be willing to make these amends? And my sponsor at the time was like, don't focus on 9. Just focus on the list, right? So I grew up, like, out in a cuddy area like this, and so like before cell phones and computers and all the things, right? So anytime me and my sibling left the home, or my parents would leave the home and we needed to know where each other was, the important way to communicate was to write on the back of an old bill envelope or some sort of envelope, right, where we went, what time we'd be home. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, just be willing to write the list. Be willing to write the list. So I wrote my list on the back of an old envelope. Because there was some sort of, like, resignation with that, of, like, some sort of identified importance, some sort of connection, because the first person on the list was not myself. I really struggle with self-forgiveness. I really struggle with being willing to, like, say, all right, Lex, the things you did, you know, we can look past that. So, like, I was not at the top of that list. The person that was at the top of my list was actually my father. So I grew up a daddy's girl until I was a heroin addict, right? And so once that happened, I was pretty much exiled from my entire family. And like you shared, right, like I didn't talk or communicate with my family. Anytime I went to jail or prison, the comments that I always got was, well, you must like it there because you keep going there. You know, you must like to live in a hole in the wall because you keep doing things to get yourself back there. And for the longest time, growing up in a functioning alcoholic home, they didn't understand that, like, I couldn't just stop with alcohol. I couldn't function and drink like they did. I couldn't function and smoke marijuana like they did. So it was a lot of, like, why don't you just stop? Why don't you stop? You're the embarrassment. You keep making it in the newspaper. You keep doing this. You keep doing that. You keep doing this. So, like, after I was in treatment with, like, 9 months clean in a halfway house, and I hadn't talked to my father in, I don't know, a couple years. But my mom was always there, right? She never gave up. And I'm in a halfway house, and you gotta, like, turn your phone in 7, 8 o'clock, something like that. So I'm on the phone, and I call my mom, and I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm gonna, like, turn my phone in. Like, what do you want, right? Because at the time I had gotten clean, I wasn't doing it for me. I was not. I was unsure if I was gonna stop. I was unsure if I was done using. I was still gonna figure out how I was gonna use after I went to prison and did a 4 to 8. Like, that's all I've ever done. So why was I gonna change? So, you know, I'm talking to my mom and I'm like, what do you want? She's like, I just want for you and your brother to be clean. And like, we're going to, you know, live in this house. And like, my dad had this crazy affair and had like went on his tangent because our family's fucked. So, but like, whatever, you know, it was normal to me. And I said, all right, mom. So like, that's what we're going to do. If that's what you want, you know, my mom was in a wheelchair. She had suffered diabetes from long-term alcoholism, hepatitis C, like all the things. She was part of the oxy rush, right? Like, so it was riddled in the family. And that was the last time I talked to my mom. She died that night while I was in treatment. And I hated every counselor I ever had in treatment. The counselor in the halfway house, I had told her about this with my dad because it hurt. It hurt not having him, man. And I said, but the only time he ever told me or I ever saw emotion come from him is when he would tell me I would write these letters from prison. Right? And he'd say, you're the only one that's ever made me cry. Nobody's ever seen him cry. But he told me he would cry when he would read these letters from prison. So she's like, send him a card. And I'm like, oh, come on, right? So I go to Hallmark. I'm in a halfway house, and I have a couple dollars in my pocket, and I go into, like, you know, Hallmark is just rips your guts out. So I go into Hallmark, and I'm trying to pick these cards out, and I have, like, this meltdown in the middle of the Hallmark store. I go back. I tell my counselor, I'm like, I didn't get the effing card. Screw you. This is stupid. I'm not doing it. She goes, I didn't tell you to go to Hallmark. I didn't tell you to go do this yourself. Just go get a 50-cent card from the dollar store up the street and like bring it back here. Fine. I go get this 50-cent card. I bring it back. We put in it like, hey, just in case you want to know where your daughter's at. I have 9 months clean and I'm in treatment and this is the phone number and the address, right? She said, you're going to start sending him a card every month at the same time. For what? Even if he doesn't respond, consistency will build trust. All right, lady, but you don't know my dad. Okay. I'm telling you, it was lined up the whole time. Because if I wouldn't have sent the card, he wouldn't have known where to call to tell me when my mom died. So the next day, one of the girls answers the house phone, landlines, and he said, yo, John's on the phone. John ain't on the phone. He's in Allegheny County Jail. I'm thinking my brother and my dad have the same name. I pick up the phone. And he goes, hey, your mom died last night. But I haven't talked to him, so I can't imagine what it's like for him to tell me this when I haven't talked to him in years, right? All the resentment and all the anger, she took with her when she went. I cannot explain. I was like, okay. Right now, after I hung up with him, I flipped tables. I lost it. I went nuts. And there's a whole nother part of that story. This lady from Pittsburgh that was in my life that had relapsed with her son. She was from Pittsburgh and real forward, like you have to be real direct with me, man, or if I get any sugar on it, I'm twisting it, right? So she held me down that entire time because the first thought at that time was, well, there goes my reason to stay in treatment. I'm done. I can go get high. I have a reason to get high now, right? So this this lady in the facility with me was like, we went down to the smoke square and we're smoking, and she's like, so what do you think? And I was like, I'm gonna roll out, man, like, I'm cool, right? I'm gonna go back to Indiana and get high. And she was like, you're a selfish brat. And I was like, wow, right? What do you mean? My mom just died. My dad doesn't talk. Like, I'm not selfish. It's everybody else. And she was like, because somebody's going to come in here, Lex, and like their parents are going to die while they're in early recovery, and they're not going to know how to stay clean. And if you fucking leave and go smoke crack, like, your seat's going to be empty when they come back in here. I was like, wow, great. Way to not make it about me. You know what I mean? So I stay, and we go through this, right, and we get through this, and my dad and my sponsor at the time, and I get a pass from the halfway house, and they give me a little 24, 23 hour pass, and I meet my dad at my mom's apartment at the high rise, and like, that's the first time I've seen or been able to communicate with him in a long time. The amend still hasn't happened. The list still hasn't happened yet, right? So I'm like trying to build yins up to this. So we pack up my mom's stuff, and I'm like, I'm living in this three-quarter house. And he's like, well, I don't want you to have everything right now. I'll keep this furniture for when you're ready. All right. So I get my dad back in a sense, and we start talking, right? And he tells me he's been riding around with my mom in the back of his truck, and like, he's taking her to movies, and he got her ashes, and he's like doing all these things. And he doesn't have a service for her, because my brother's incarcerated and I'm in treatment. So no service for my mom. I don't question what he does. That's his wife. I can't, you know. So I'm in a three-quarter house, and I'm at my home group, which was at a different spot at the time. I get a phone call from the hospital in Forbes Hospital down in Monroeville, and it's my dad's little wing ding, and she goes, your dad's in the hospital, you should probably come down here. Now, my dad's old school, and like, if a bone broke, I swear to God, he'd use duct tape to fix it, okay? Like, we don't go to hospitals, we don't go to doctors, we don't go to dentists. If you're dying, you're dying, and that's it. So the fact that he was in the hospital tells me something, right? So I was with I'm in my home group, and one of the girls that's actually on the committee was sitting next to me, and she looked at me and she goes, do you need a ride? And I didn't have a driver's license yet. I'm like, yeah, I need a ride. So we left my home group and we drive down to Forbes Hospital. My dad's laying in the hospital bed, and I go in and I'm like, what are you doing, old man? Like, what's up? Like, why are we in this position? So, old steel worker, old Harley rider, old everything on the land, built everything on the land, right? He had a knee replacement. His knees were bad from being a crane operator, climbing up and down a crane his entire life, up and down, up and down, up and down. Plus alcoholism and pain pills. So he says, I'm septic. I said, what do you mean? You know. He said, they want to take my leg. I'm like, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, they're not getting it. Because ultimately, if you take his leg, you're taking his whole life. At 60-some years old. You're taking everything. Right? So I'm standing there and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, and I've had these conversations with him down in the garage, like, Lex, someday you're going to have to do this. Lex, someday you're going to have to do this. And you don't want to hear that as a child. You're like, I'm not, like, whatever, you're living till 100. We'll all be fine, whatever. My mom was 64 or something when she died. My dad might have been 65, somewhere in there, mid-60s. And so I had made, by the time he's in Forbes, I had done the list, right? The list is done now. So I'm with my sponsor. My sibling was clean at the time. And another, a roommate that I had at the time that's no longer here. baby Casey, right? So it was like COVID had just started. Like, we were wearing masks, but we didn't really know why we were wearing masks, right? So we're going in the hospital and we're just going down to Forbes every day. And I'm riding down there with my sponsor. She's driving me down there. And like Howdy said, this feeling just comes when you know it's time. Something says it's time. And I looked at my sponsor and I'm like, it's it. It's today. Like, something's telling me it's today. Because if I don't do this today, I don't know if I'll ever get past it, right? This is the one I don't know if I'll ever get past. So we go into the hospital, and by this time, the heating blanket had come off, right? We all know what the heating blankets do. And the hospice people come, and they're, God bless hospice. And so I went to the nurse's station, and I said, listen, that dude feels an ounce of anything, you're going to feel me. So, like, you better pump this dude up so I can send him to the moon comfortably, right? Because if I'm the one that he's deeming to take care of him, then that's what I'm going to do. And through the program, I have the ability to do that at this point. I can show up. Even though all those other times I was breaking into your house, army crawling across your floor, stealing your car keys, stealing your wallet, lying to you, breaking in through your windows, all of those things I'm carrying with me into this hospital room, shooting dope in your house, overdosing in your house that you pay for, that you work for, I'm carrying all that in there. All that's coming in with me while I'm trying to look at this man in his face as he's dying. I just lost my mom 13 months before that. So I said, Dad, I need to say something to you. And even through some of his moments of, like, not knowing who I was, reaching for things that aren't there when they're dying, right? Calling me by my mom's name, Janet. He said, let me sit up. And he put his hospital bed up. And I said, I need to tell you the things I did in active addiction, I will never do again. I will never do again as long as I don't pick up. And out of all the name calling that I have been called, all the verbal abuse that I was given as a child, all the physical abuse I experienced as a child, all the I don't believe you because you're an addict and if your mouth is moving, you're lying. He goes, I believe you. I believe you. I said, I'm sorry. You don't have to be sorry. All the times I said I was sorry, and he said, fucking you, fuck that. Get out of my, you know. I've never heard it. That was the first time in my entire life that my dad finally said, I believe you. And so I said, okay, right? And you want to talk about, like, a deep level of commitment? Working that step face to face, making a direct amends without causing harm, right? Now, I'm not going to run and tell some of the tricks that I turned. Like, you don't go run into the wife, you don't, you know. I'm not going to go into Walmart and take all their flat screens back. I paid that anyway with a state number. But those kind, those direct amends, those face-to-face, even in the midst of growing up in total dysfunction and abuse, is it disappears. For me, it did for me. And I left the room. My brother then went in. You know, you take shifts, right? You take shifts. And my sponsor at the time was in there. And I said, hey, to my brother, let's both go down to take a smoke break. And we both went down. And we got on the elevator to come back up. And I said, something feels different. And then we walked in the room. And my sponsor at the time said he left, Lex. He left. And I was able to call my uncle. And I was able to call my gram. And I was able to call all these people and be the daughter. The entire time that he was waiting for. The entire time that he was waiting for. Right? And it was the people in the rooms that got me through that. It was my sponsor that got me through that. It was my supports that got me through that. It was Yin's that got me through that. I would have never even set foot in that hospital without being high or copping or in the parking lot or down on the East Lib or down on the North Side. I wouldn't have been able to do that without this. I know that for a fact, without a doubt. Right? There's some other amends, you know, like we talked about, like those direct amends, and I still cause harm today. I know I do. I try to do it without intent. Sometimes I have intent. Right? And I've also learned, like, the joke about four. Check your resentments in four, because you'll be making an amends in nine. You know what I mean? So I do my best on a daily basis to think, well, fuck, am I going to have to put that down in nine? 10's cool, right? Daily inventory, so we can do little break checks like that. But it deepened my level of commitment to myself, because I had been waiting my whole life to hear that. I can't get high after that. It blows the high. I've gotten high with a head full of NA. NA wasn't enough to stop the relapse. This ninth step, there, I can't comprehend using. Because how can I go my whole life waiting for that to put it down a pipe? The second I use, that whole life moment will be gone. It will be gone. It won't hold its value. It won't hold my commitment that I have. It won't hold my ability to show up anymore. For me, it would have been all for nothing. And I am done doing all for nothing. So whether my loved ones are here or not, it is not all for nothing. So there's still some. I have to go back on that list. I think we're gonna. But there are ones that I wasn't willing yet, which I found out through that, right? Like the 90-year-old Catholic grandma. She just turned 90. I finally got invited to her birthday party. Almost 8 years later. I'm covered in ink. Listen, I went down to Florida for this residency for school. She's accidentally faced, my uncle's at bike week in Dakotas. So I'm like, oh my God, grandma's FaceTiming. Something is wrong. Why is the phone, you know what I mean? She's
Alexis.
And this is my dad's mom. I'm like, yeah, Grim, are you okay? What's going on? Oh, she goes, oh. I'm like, what, Grim? That's not a sweater. That's your neck? Yeah, Grim. Nope. Are you sure? Is that interfering with your schooling? Oh, Nanny. I wasn't ready to do that with her the first round. But like, you know, we talk about this review and I keep getting this thought. It keeps resonating. My higher power will keep talking and will continue to get loud until I take action. Right? So I keep hearing, call Graham, call Graham, call Graham. On my way walking up here, call Graham, do this, nice, do this. Because you're on an old list, right? So we want to keep our side of the porch clean. We want to clean that stuff up so we're not still walking in the hospital room carrying all that shit that we never did. So we're going to call Graham. Right? She didn't understand I was a heroin. She didn't understand. She still don't understand. I don't know, Graham. I'm going to hell. I got tattoos. You know, but I love her. And it is, the program has given me that. So that's all I got.
Thank the speakers for sharing their experience, faith, and hope with us. We have a nice way of closing from a circle and close with a wreath.
I love you.
Oh, yeah, here. Good job.